adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Here, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Wilder Valderrama's here. And then we're just shooting a knowing glance at each other. You know, when you're on the inside, Drew, you'll understand.
Someday, yes.
Wilmer, of course, a friend of the show, been on many times. Most notably known from That 70s Show, but getting the theatrical career up and running as well with many movies. And the latest, which is Party Monster. And Wilmer, just a great guy. Always happy. As much as I curse those I hate having success, I'm that much happier when those I like have success.
Oh, that's really cool.
Wilmer's one of the good ones.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, God bless you, Wilmer.
I told you that. privacy of a dressing room, too, and that was really big.
You showed him, man.
Yeah, that was really big.
Wilmer and I, Wilmer was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last week when I was sidekicking, and we got to talking, and I asked him to come on the show, and pow, here he is.
Shows up.
And we didn't have Macaulay Culkin on the show, but we did have Seth Green on the show.
Macaulay's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Because he was sitting in here.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. Macaulay's girlfriend is
Mila.
Mila from The 70s Show.
Oh, I didn't
know
that she did that. That's great.
From The Family Guy. Oh, yes.
I finally identified her voice last week. I was thinking, whose voice is that? I know that voice.
So now is that how... So what happened was Mila came in... it's been a couple of months. But she came in and Macaulay Culkin came with her. But he was just sort of hanging. He was just sort of hanging out. He wasn't over here either. I think it was at the last studio.
Very low pro.
Yeah, I could see that getting beaten into him very early by just society at large. You know, by the time you're 9, you realize it's probably not a good idea to just go walking out down the street in a pair of shorts whistling, you know.
So exactly.
I don't think it ever really is a good idea to do that, even if you're not a celebrity. But now, did you get involved? How did you get involved with Party Monsters? Is there any Mila connection?
No, not at all. In fact, it's the other way around. You know, actually, she came and visited me at the set, you know, kind of thing. You know, I mean, they brought to me this script a long time ago, and it was in the works of getting done, and there's a few people attached to it that then fell through, and then a few other people got attached to it, and they brought it up to me, and I went up to, Randy and Fenton, who are the directors and writers of the movie, and met with them, and you know, long story short, got the part and learned a lot about the whole subject and about what the movie was about and got to meet the cast, which is an incredible cast.
Tell your whole story in entertainment. That was kind of interesting, where you came from.
Yeah, I was born in Miami. And when I was 3 years old, my parents decided to move back to Venezuela. And that's where I grew up. When I turned 14 and a half, we came back to the States, came to Los Angeles, didn't know how to speak English, and had to learn from scratch. And
so now, being in Miami until 3, did you pick up any English?
I knew a very fundamental, very important word that you use in English very often, which is monkey. And that was really exciting because when I got back, I got to use it zero times. So, I knew nothing because it's like learning a whole new, you know, culture.
So you go from Venezuela to where?
From Venezuela, we came back to Miami for like 2 weeks, and my parents, you know, didn't really see anything really happening there, so we came back to Los Angeles.
And what did your parents do, or what do they do?
My dad used to work the agriculture business in Venezuela. You know, he had a company that you know, he owned this company with machineries and stuff, and a lot of farms didn't have the money to buy their own machinery. You know, they would pay my dad for a fee.
Lease it to him.
Yeah, exactly. He would go there and would for like kind of like a service. They go in there and they level the land, make it ready for plantation, that kind of thing. But during the winters, the work was really, really bad because the winters are long and very, very wet, you know?
Right.
So we had to just find something else because we were breaking even in our savings every winter.
So you came out here, and then the family went from Miami to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did your folks start doing?
Well, my dad was still doing the company from here, as much as he could, you know.
Right.
And then he started buying and fixing cars and selling them back and stuff like that slowly. And now
you didn't get that part of the story last time.
No,
that's interesting.
I like that part.
Yeah. I know I would have talked all night with you just about that.
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
Well, right now he actually has a company that imports, you know, textiles, you know, from the, you know, from back and forth.
I was amazed at these guys that are just they're sort of businessmen, and whatever they direct their focus toward, and they become experts at it pretty quickly. And just the next, you know,
I think it's surviving, man. It's surviving when you need to learn something and do it right, you know, because, you know, it's, certain people are depending on it.
But people
know?
Don't realize you didn't speak English when you, very soon after you just sort of learned English by the time you
literally stuck. Like, it's so funny. I was here at 14. At 18, I was getting the 70 show.
Wow.
You know?
So I was from 14 to 18, I was not going to parties, not going to movies, not going to malls, just school, you know, reading, studying, making sure that I, because I was petrified. Like, I didn't.
Man, he is waking up now for lost time.
I am making up lost time. But it's true, you know, I think that you know, I was so focused back there, you know, because I was so scared of being part of that whole stereotype, you know, and just, you know, just felt very patronized and didn't want to compromise with what I wanted to be. But I, at a very younger age, I just said, you know what, I can't live in fear like this. You know, I had to learn the language right away and just study, and went back to school activities, which was theatrical and singing and dancing and stuff, which was the thing that was making me improve my speaking skills.
And then you just start going out on auditions when you were 16?
And I had nothing to lose, so I said, you know what, let me, I'm still in school, you know, let me do this as well so I can do two things at the same time and just be busy. And I started auditioning a lot and became really good at the whole auditioning process and met a lot of great people. This teacher that I had, it was a private acting class. Her name was Celeste Boyd, and I actually haven't been able to talk to her ever since, like in years, and I've been trying to find this woman, but she was amazing. She was the one who actually sharpened my tools to the point where I felt so comfortable in going on these auditions, and I was booking job after job, and then finally I when my first commercial paid my dues, and with that money, you know, I became a Screen Actors Guild member, and then I started auditioning for the good stuff.
I remember because I was around Carsey Warner when they were getting that 70s show going, which used to be called Dazed and Confused or Teenage Wasteland.
Yeah, there was like four names. They had Teenage Wasteland.
Yeah, it was fashioned after Dazed and Confused.
Right, but they couldn't get the name. They wanted to call it Teenage Wasteland, and they couldn't get the rights from The Who or something like that, which is ironic.
Which, by the way, the weird thing about it, that 100th episode, Roger Daltrey comes and does a guest star and becomes my music teacher. It's weird.
Well, somebody told The Who to start selling their library at some point, because now I hear there's a Humvee commercial with a Who song, and they're all over the place.
It could have been our song,
but it was called That 70s Show because that's what they were calling it, as a sort of working title, because they didn't have another title. So the executives would say it's, you know, That 70s Show, and it just stuck. And what is this, the seventh year?
This is our sixth season, and we've been picked up for a seventh already.
Oh my God. Wow.
We start our sixth season October 29, and
really, and it's going to be That 90s Show, but
it's crazy, man. The fans are super cool, man. I mean, we went through that process of going from Sundays to Mondays, back to Sundays to Tuesdays, from Tuesdays back to Mondays, and then Wednesdays, and then Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and that could murder any show, but, you know, everybody was really cool enough to be loyal and follow the show.
And we've had everyone of your cast except the mom, right?
Maybe the mom came. I think the mom came with the dad at some point. I thought she.
I know Kerwood's done it. I think
Kerwood's done
Kerwood
it
a couple times.
Yeah, I think maybe with the exception of the mom, but that's a maybe. I think we've had everybody for sure. All right. Well, good times. Mazel tov, as half of Drew's religion would express. And the movie, which is in limited release, it's out in New York and Los Angeles, Chicago, and did you say it's coming out in Miami or Florida?
Yeah, Florida. It's going to come up pretty soon, in a few days, actually.
Party Monster, doing very well, but if you support it, then it'll get a wide release, and then eventually may even show up in a town near you. All right, let's go to the phones and get the show started. Speak to Julie, who's 20. Julie?
Hi.
What's up?
I was wondering if there's a reason why I don't have orgasms. I can get them, like, orally, but I can't have them through intercourse.
That reason would be you're a female.
Right.
That most women experience that. Very. Okay. It's less than half have an orgasm with intercourse.
Yeah, in my experience, about 3%, and they're faking. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that, Julie.
That is a normal. In fact, you're a little ahead of the curve at 20 to be having orgasms at all.
Yeah, with the oral sex. Do you come close?
No, she has it with oral sex.
I know.
Close with
I have them with
Drew
oral.
Doesn't feel like
yeah.
he's making a point unless he's knocking something over in the studio. But yeah, I know. But do you come close through the intercourse?
Oh no, not at all.
Not even. Not. It's
no.
not like you're on the warning track or anything. You don't get out of the infield.
No.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, that's you.
Not even. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get to the plate. Yeah, but do you enjoy sex anyway?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
I mean, I make
that kiss of death when you hear the
difference
in front
between
of,
male and female. So, Jody, the sex okay?
Well, hey, so Julie, maybe you don't enjoy the intercourse that much.
I do. I try to make it interesting because I just know that I'm not going to ever get anywhere.
Not a male answer. Not possibly even the range of possible answers.
Are you not happy with your guy?
No.
Do you still find him attractive?
Happy.
You're happy.
I'm sorry?
Do you still find him attractive?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
All right. But you sure you're not angry with him over anything?
No.
Okay, then why are you giving us a crazy cadence every time we ask you a question about him?
You got to define the word cadence for her.
Here's what I'm saying, Julie. Here's the thing. If you don't have a problem with your guy, you're perfectly happy and perfectly attracted to him, how come when we ask, are you happy with him, are you attracted to him, you give that,
Well, I mean, he's not like my guy. I mean, he's like my friend. I mean, we're not like totally together, but like.
All right, maybe you need to find
that's
that relationship.
What you need.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're in love, it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. Or drunk or high.
Yeah, one of the three.
Yeah. Or it's during the day or at night. Or in the morning.
Or the bushes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Julie's just like talking to her is like playing a handball against the curtains. Just everything's like. You have to sit on pins and needles waiting for a crappy response each time. Christina?
Hello?
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
You guys are totally bitching. You got me through high school.
Thank you.
Bitching.
Yeah. This is such a Lifetime channel drama. I can't even tell you, but I was with my boyfriend for a year, and he got out of the Coast Guard, and we drove across country from Seattle to North Carolina, and got in a little fight with his mother, and he took me to stay with his grandmother and said everything was cool, look for a house for us. The next day I called him, and he broke up with me, screamed at me, horrible person, blah, 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 blah. And I was 3,000 miles away from home. I didn't know anyone.
Yeah, there are a lot of stuff.
Seems like
here.
It.
Yeah,
why would he just scream that you were a horrible person after the last thing he told you to do is look for a house for us?
See, that's why I'm confused. And
now, what you went to North Carolina to meet his mom?
Well, we moved there.
They were relocating.
Why?
There.
Why?
So he could work for his family's business. They work for a beer company or something like that.
And
so
there's no dad?
What?
There's no dad?
No, the dad's there, and he's very involved, but the mother is very domineering and very loud, and he's very close with her. It's kind of weird.
All right, so you met her, and what happened during that meeting?
We loved each other. Everything was cool, and we went on vacation for 2 days, and basically there was a little conflict about me going to the beach with her sons, and she told me to
with
sit the hell
sons?
Down and swore at me, and I didn't want to be talked to like that, so I went to a hotel.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Christina's a pain in the ass, too.
Yeah.
And listen, everybody. If you're going to, you can leave out. Here's the thing. If you're going to tell a story, obviously when you tell a story, you want to make it. It's like you're talking to a cop. Who started the fight in the bar?
Right.
Hey, man,
mm-hmm.
I was just sitting there drinking a beer and a guy came up and he shoved me and I tried to defend myself. You got to do that. But you can't just say I was at home and the bar came into my living room and they beat me up and then went back to the bar.
Yeah.
It has to be plausible.
Yeah.
And your story started with you didn't do anything. Next thing you know, he's screaming at you and you're out of his life. And this is starting to weave into his mom and some kids at the beach and you mm-hmm. telling her to blow you. And so we're starting to unfurl a little bit.
So you had a huge fight with the mom.
It wasn't even a huge fight.
Christina.
You went and stayed at a hotel.
Yeah, stay at this planet. It was bad enough for you to leave the scene. I mean, it sounds horrible.
Yes.
It was a huge deal.
Yes.
And this. Yes. Why do you deny that?
It wasn't a huge deal when it happened.
Wait. You just said yes, it was a huge deal. Yes, it was a huge deal that caused you to leave and retreat to a hotel, for God's sake.
Well, listen, but look, Christina, we're not saying it was your fault. We're just trying to figure out
why.
Although we now assume it is.
It is her fault.
We're not saying it's your fault. Although, oh no, I already said that. We're just trying to figure out why your boyfriend would call you out of the blue and start screaming
and
at
when
you.
When you know that his mother's a major figure in his life, somebody he's very close to, and she has a total meltdown, horrible interaction with you, it sounds
That's why he
naturally
called,
enough, yelled
at you.
Yeah, he calls and is upset and angry that you would do that to his mother, and you would engage in that kind of relationship
with
him.
But anyway, and look, we're not a big fan of his either. Any guy that's
absolutely
still sucking on the teat of his mom at age 25.
Yeah,
we
wouldn't say that he shouldn't have called up and defended you. Maybe that's probably what he should have done. But the fact is, it was because of this meltdown fight you had with
the
mom.
Okay, so now
we both overreacted. You know, basically was the thing. And so I think what happened is when he went back to be with them and smooth things over, because they threatened to take away his job and everything if he were to stay with me, he called and broke up with me, and I was 3,000 miles away from home.
But thank you for including that little piece of data.
Yeah,
right.
Just about
his,
to say,
his career was
really
going to be trash also.
Yeah, but they really hate you.
The irony, though, is that Christina probably is exactly like the mom.
Ooh.
Probably.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What a twist.
Yeah. Both ball busters.
Of course.
All right, so now what?
So I'm back in Seattle. They have everything I own. He's not speaking to me. And I'm just wondering, should I hold out?
Go down that path. Everything I own.
I know.
Yeah, my toothbrush.
Yeah, okay. Half box of tampons and a pack of cool cigarettes.
Oh, they have my kittens and my car and everything. So I'm just wondering, you know, since he's going to be with the family, that we don't get along. Me and the family don't. Should I just give up hope now and move on?
What kind of car? What year?
A 93 Honda Accord.
How many miles?
146,000.
Leave it.
Yeah, you can leave it. Leather interior. Cloth.
No.
Cloth.
Velour?
Yes.
What color? Burgundy?
Blue.
Blue? You can leave it.
Yes.
Leave it. Automatic or stick?
Automatic.
Ooh. Mm, yeah. All right, you can leave it. 150,000 miles on it?
Yeah.
Why didn't you take it when you left, by the way? Did you fly home?
Yes, I did.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right. And are you on speaking terms with him anymore?
No, we haven't spoken since then, and it was just such a shock because when he left, he was like,
All right. Chalk it up to experience.
But Christina, listen, for God's sakes, learn to contain your impulses. Think how many steps along the way here, the result of you leaving and going to a hotel, getting on an airplane, all this drama that you throw into your life, that if you just sat and reflected for a section on your action, like an adult, perhaps things might have turned out differently.
Well, I don't want to blame Christina too much, but I can tell by her cadence she's a horrible person. I know these Christinas. I've dealt with a few of these. They're victims. Everything's someone else's fault. There was attack for no good reason. They tell you a story. Nah, I didn't want to get to it. Just chalk it up. And look, everybody, bad roommates, bad relationships, bad boyfriend, bad girlfriend, chalk it up to experience when you're 22 and walk away.
Yeah.
That's it. Cause,
all that wasted time.
All right.
So, what, waste a few more years?
Right.
Yeah.
Annalisa?
Hello.
What's up?
Okay.
You're 13. That's pretty young.
Yeah.
Is it hot in here?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was raped this summer by my aunt's boyfriend.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
How old was he?
30.
Ugh.
Oh, boy.
This is your aunt's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sister of your mother or father?
Of my mother. I don't know my father at all.
There we go.
Mom's been married 3 times.
Yes, of course.
So this is your mom's younger sister?
Yes.
All right. And did you tell anybody about this?
Yeah, my mom knows and stuff, and a couple of my best friends know, and my aunt knows, but she's kind of like relying on me to make decisions for her.
Did you go to the police?
Huh?
The police. Did you go to the police?
My mom, well, I guess my grandpa had called the police because it happened in Washington.
Uh-huh.
And so he had called the police, I guess, on him. And but all I know is that they said that since it happened a while ago that they don't know what to do about it right now.
Why didn't you go to a hospital right away when it happened?
No, because I was kind of scared because I thought that, because with my aunt, because she might be losing her daycare license because it happened at her house.
Honey, that would be a tragedy if that saint lost her daycare license.
With her helper, her boyfriend.
Sure. Russ, nursing a 16-ounce tall boy. Gut hanging out of his wife beater. Smoking a Moore cigarette. Come here, kiddies.
Oh, my God.
How old are you, 8? You'll be ripe in just a couple of months.
That's probably why he is with the aunt.
No, but, she has 3 kids from him.
Perfect.
And
listen.
Perfect. Okay, and how long ago did this happen?
About 2 months.
And she knows that he raped you.
Yeah.
What do you think his story is? Did he try to defend himself?
Yeah, he did. My parents had called, or my mom had called my grandpa. My grandpa went over there and, you know, he called me and he's like, are you sure this happened? I'm like, yeah. And so Al, like, the guy totally, like, denied it and everything. And so, yeah.
Well, do you think your aunt believes you? Do you think people believe you?
Yeah, to a point.
Had you been victimized in the past prior to this?
No.
Never? Nothing ever happened to you before?
And so you guys, what were you doing? Staying with them?
I was helping my aunt out during the summer with her daycare, and she had taken her oldest son, which is now 8 years old, and, those two went to Florida that night.
No.
So.
All right. Yeah.
Look, if anything like this ever happens to you again, go immediately to a hospital and get what's called a forensic examination where they look inside and to collect evidence to prove that you were raped.
Yeah.
You got to have that. Nothing you can do if you don't do that.
Yeah, that's right. My mom just took me to one, like, last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a lot of stress, though, because my aunt just depends on me making a bunch of decisions.
Well, I understand that part. You're back in Wisconsin. She's in Washington.
Yeah.
What's all that about?
Huh?
Why is she depending on you to make decisions? You mean not to prosecute?
No, like, she wants me to make the decisions, like, as in if she should keep him around or not.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
She's asking the rape victim whether
we'll tell you what to tell her. Get the guy away.
Yeah.
And in fact,
yeah,
that's it.
Somebody's got to notify the state that she's got a predator in the house.
Yeah, but...
Especially the kind of business she runs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. God, and Lisa, please follow our direction on this. We rarely give specific advice. This one, we're giving it.
Yeah. I mean, I could see if... You know, he was a publicist or something like that, where it kind of went with the territory, the rape. Not the physical rape, but the symbolic rape of the business. That sort of thing. Well, that's fine. It's actually, I would consider it a plus.
Right.
I talk, when I interview publicists, I want to know that they have an extensive criminal history, with rape being at the top of the list. But if it's daycare, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
That's completely different. Not a plus in daycare. Now, see, she's got that sign up that says, you know, rape-free since July of 96, and then it's crossed out now. And then she got to write the new date underneath it. Even if you see that rape-free sign, which I look for in a daycare, it's a bad sign.
This is a rape-free zone.
Yeah. All right. Wilmer Valderrama here tonight. Everybody, Party Monster, name of it.
Thank you. Wow. Standing ovation. That's great. Thank you.
They're big fans. Big fans out
amazing.
Here, Wilmer. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. AFI in here tomorrow night, by the way. Wilmer Valderrama here tonight. Always great to see him again. Party Monster, name of the movie, out in...
haven't seen it, I guess. It's a show clap.
Chicago. No, actually, Engineer Anderson saw it and liked it. He
loved
told
it.
Us last
wow,
night.
Wow, a rare
first half it. I loved, Wilmer.
Yeah. He was in love with the first half and liked the second half?
Yeah, solid 2-star second half.
All right, because he's a Engineer Anderson is not only a cynic and a part-time prick, but
a student of film.
That's good.
He has a film tattoo, actually, yeah. A ribbon of film going around his
Wow.
Right,
very passionate about it. That's great.
He's a passionate, passionate man when it comes to film.
Yeah. Thanks, Al.
Yeah. Oh, buddy. I miss you.
I miss you too, bud.
Yeah, you know, in fact, Anderson came to my book signing.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, my friends that cared about my projects who...
Well, you had it in some, like, beach city or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Me to come out there.
It was at least Illinois. 5 minutes from Culver City, you're right.
All right, good times. I was looking down on my beat sheet here, seeing Wilmer's name, seeing his last name spelt V-A-L-D-E-R-R-R-A-M-A.
How do you say that?
And wow. I just got to roll those off. You got to say it like you're scoring a soccer goal. So and then I looked up on the Loveline guest sheet on the window, and it's spelled V-A-L-D-E-R, one R-A-M-A. So I was a little confused, and the answer is two R's. So one heavy here, one light on the window, but two R's, everybody. And speaking of crazy names, this is just a little piece of personal business. I'm sending this guy, I don't know him too well. I'm just a guy. I thought I'd do him a favor and send him out to the Inland Invasion this week. Yeah. K-Rock's putting on.
Sounds like amazing concert.
Amazing set. And I said, what's your name? What's your last name, Robert? How do you spell that? And he said, because I got to put it in so we can get it at will calls. I'm in my car, by the way, trying to find a pen and write and talk on the cell phone. And he's like, last name, and this is it. This is the last name. K-H-A-C-H-A-T-O-O-R-I-A-N-S. I'm like, are you high? First off, circumnavigated the globe now. Two times since you've given that name. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't even know what that is. And there's like 17 letters. And I know when he says it, it sounds like nothing. But... I don't even know how to pronounce it. But
I was about to ask you.
It's Khachaturian.
Yes, Khachaturian. Yeah, it's Armenian, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. But Jesus, I could streamline I could streamline this name, no problem. And I could work it into about six and a half letters. Yeah.
True.
All right, but God. And then I thought, what a curse. Imagine on the back of like a baseball jersey.
Oh my
in
God.
High school or something.
I can't.
All right. Where is we? Oh, back to the phones we go. Joe?
Yeah.
You're 24?
24.
What's up?
I got married about 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. And my wife, before we got married, didn't have a problem with having an orgasm or anything else. She's 21.
During intercourse or just what? How did she achieve that?
Intercourse.
And yep, so no problems. Okay.
Ever since we got married, she's been having trouble. Well, we've changed her birth control twice. She's been to the gynecologist several times. And lately we tried Avlamil. It's I heard the commercial on the radio a few times and we thought, hey, we'll give it a try.
Oh, please.
Yeah, does it work?
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
All right. None of that crap works.
Did she start the pill at the time at which you got married?
No, she started about 3 months before we got married.
Did her sex drive or orgasmic function decline?
It didn't really affect her until probably about a month after we got married, I guess.
Do you think it is the pill, or does she have some sort of emotional reaction to being married?
She really has no emotional problems. She had a great upbringing and everything, her family.
And she's been thoroughly checked out medically?
Yes, sir, very.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, she's on no other medicines?
Excuse me?
She's on no other medicines other than the birth control pill?
Absolutely not. She takes the pill and, like I said, the Avlamil, and that's it. She might have some stress with school, but even on her summer break, there was no...
How about oral sex?
She really doesn't get into it. I mean,
ooh,
she's
at all.
Good for you. Good for you, buddy. Dodged a bullet. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to call. I was busy counting up the letters in this guy's name. 14 letters.
Yeah.
More than half the alphabet
just
in this guy.
Adam, if you could have had that name, you would have learned how to read just with that name.
How many is there 26 letters? How many letters are there?
Maybe. I used to know this.
28? I'll work it out, Drew. Half, at least half. I thought there was 26. Drew's working it out, by the way. It's going to take a couple of minutes.
26.
All right, more than half the letters in the alphabet in this guy's name. And you know what I was thinking? See, back in the day, they would have taken a look at this at Ellis Island and went like, Johnson, get out of here.
Oh, Smith.
Exactly. Yeah, less letters. Yeah, just make it easier. Yeah. Now everyone's got to hang on to their name. They're Valderramas and they're Carchutarians.
A lot of people told me to change my name when I first started the business, and they're like producers.
Last or first or last, or just?
Both.
Well, like, I could see you, like, as a, maybe, like, as a Val Valderrama. You know what I mean? That's like an action name.
Val Derrama.
Ooh, yeah.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Just chop it in half. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. What happened to our last guy?
Three.
Why? We weren't done helping that guy.
No, we were not done. That's right. So
what'd he do? Hang up?
You put him on hold.
Oh, all right. Sorry, Joe.
That's all right.
All right. Is your wife, is she stressed out? Is she happy with the marriage? Is she happy with you?
Very happy with the marriage.
How long has this been going on for that she's been like this?
I'd say the past 8 months.
And no pregnancies, no nothing like that?
No, no pregnancies.
Any other funky symptoms? Weight gain,
no.
Loss, or?
Just the sex thing. She still behaves the same, acts the same, you know, does all the same things.
Was she multi-orgasmic before or just once?
Well, if we went long enough, but yeah, most
maybe she burnt them all, like
used them up,
like in a football game. You know, you burn them all in the third quarter. You got nothing left.
See, I've listened
fourth,
before,
you know?
You said that it's kind of unusual for a person or for a girl under 24, 25 to actually have an orgasm. And
it is,
except the ones that do. The ones that do, it sort of falls out.
Well,
no problem.
Well, what about this? What about
some abuse? Or
some abuse?
Yeah. No.
Turned on, turned off.
I know that.
No
abuse.
No abuse. Preacher's
okay.
Daughter. I mean,
virgin. Yeah, that ain't helping.
Yeah.
Huh?
She was virgin until we got together and we're married.
Right.
I'm the only person she's ever been with.
Outside of the family.
Outside of the family, of course.
All right. Well, I think she should.
I think you got to pursue the medical work.
Yeah. Needs to go get a workout.
Yeah, this is not. And she probably on a. Is she off the pill now? I talked to him. Joe, is she off the pill now?
No, sir.
She got to be off the pill. Give her 6 months or so off the pill.
Oh,
and
that's scary,
use condoms, that kind of thing, just to see if she can restore her normal biology. I bet that's what it is.
It's
I bet you.
Preacher's daughter, virgin.
It's different in every woman how they react to it.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, that's why men are so bewildered. Women are so different one from the other biologically and their responsiveness and how they respond to medication. Completely different.
Yeah, they're a mess. I mean, there's no. Here's the thing about women. It's like. It's like back, you know, I sit around and watch all these history shows at night. And back in the day, they used to, you know, make each rifle by hand, you know, for the Civil War and everything. And then the ammunition would only work with the certain rifle because everything was like a different bore and a different size and nothing could get synced up. Well, guys, we figured it out. We got all synced up.
Men were all synced, yeah.
Yes, your balls will work with my penis. My hand will work. Well, I don't have to tell you about that. Yeah. I mean, the point is it's easy. We know how it works.
Yeah.
Women... easy. Like, you know, if you were...
Women got it easy.
Yeah, they got it easy because we're easy to figure out and we're all about the same.
Except because they can't accept the male's motivational priorities in terms of what we like, what we do, we seem like a complete bewilderment to them.
Well, yeah,
because they won't
not.
Accept how we actually are, so it's like, it's all very confusing.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
right?
It's always compromising.
We're basically, look at guys, all of them as rapists, it's just some of them don't rape.
Most of them don't.
But look at them. Look at them having the heart of a rapist who keep themselves at bay.
Now role playing. I'll play the woman. It's like, oh, you're so funny. You're so funny. You're such a big.
Oh, you're trying that. That's cute.
That's so funny.
Okay, I'll let you go with it. That's cool.
Guys, not funny.
No.
Not funny. Deadly serious.
Drew's a doctor over here. He's a very passionate man. Yes, Drew?
Very.
Okay. And, of course, Wilmer's from Venezuela.
Very.
Very Venezuelan.
Very passionate.
Yeah, this passion.
Very
great,
passionate.
Great,
passion breed.
Great passion over there. I'm from North Hollywood.
It's a great ad out there.
We beat off in Napa a lot. But that's my culture.
It's what I do. It's what I do. I'm passionate like these.
We have the festival each year in North Hollywood where we all just get together and nap and then beat off and then nap again. It's huge, Drew. Rides for the kids. We're going to do a snow cone machine this year. You got to come out. All right, let's take they did away. Speaking of passion, they got rid of lap dancing, by the way.
Oh yeah,
today
I heard that
in proper
Los Angeles, which still means you can probably get out to like the Spearmint Rhino in Tustin or something and still get yourself a handy, but no lap dances. As a matter of fact, they didn't say no lap dances. They said it was a 6 foot radius. You had to have some sort of 6 foot buffer zone, like some kind of is if they put restraining order on your nuts. Like it couldn't be more than couldn't be closer than 6 foot to a stripper.
Think of all the police that's going to now require to police that.
Okay, this is my point. Yeah. This is exactly my point, which is, you know, a week ago they ABC News drove some spent uranium right down the 110 and right through the middle of downtown LA, and it came right in, came from like Jakarta. They shipped it on a container ship right into the port of Los Angeles, and pow, right through downtown LA. Now, here's the answer they always give. Hey, we don't have enough manpower. We just don't have enough manpower to search every container, to work every port, to this and that. It's always, whenever the policing, whenever you're talking about crime, it's always manpower. Right. We just don't have enough manpower. Yeah? Well, maybe if you didn't have some of the manpower sitting in the tip bars looking for the 6 foot buffer zone, they could hit the ports. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Why don't you pull some of the manpower out of the Chevettes, out of the meter maids I see coming down the street at 2 a.m. when I'm driving home from way up in the hills, giving the good taxpayers a nice ticket up there. We'll pull some of those manpower guys and shove their asses out to the port. Don't give me that manpower crap. You guys put 50 guys to bust Heidi Fleiss. That old plenty of manpower for the boob job patrol. Them's you got looking in the container for radioactive materials. You're a little short on guys.
Not so interesting.
Everyone's there. Please, what's going on? We have so much manpower being focused on who's smoking out on the terrace and who's getting a lap dance. We don't have anything left for the stuff we want. Please, and these council people. I don't know who this lesbian was that got this thing pushed along, but Jesus Christ, honey, give it a rest. And we're practically in wartime here. And by the way, this is a simple enjoyment for a man during these times of stress. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with blowing a little steam off at the. Joint there.
Yeah, we have to welcome the troops. We really do.
That's right. All right, Anderson. I'll stop saying, but I'm angry now because who is going to enforce this? And they will enforce it, and they'll have to enforce it. And that's just one more guy off the street and in the T-bar looking for your buffer zone, which, by the way, nobody cares about. The guys who go in there know what they want. Believe me, guys who go into those places are I know these guys, actually. But they're angry that they're not getting enough already. They'd like more. Please. Really? Is this what we really got to do? And how come these people that try to waste everyone's time and push all these things through, how come we don't just run them out of town on a donkey? Really? This is it? Not enough manpower for anything else but this? Please. You sicken me. All of you. All right. Wilmer Valderrama! Yes, in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Wilmer Valderrama is our guest tonight. Party Monster, name of his new movie. Seth Green, Macaulay Culkin, and... got a question up here about working with Marilyn Manson that we'll get to in just 1 second. The That 70 Show season premieres on Wednesday, October 29th. But what's the deal? Because there's a lot of shows premiering this week already.
It's a lot of new shows that come on early, so they don't, you know, because a lot of the veteran shows.
They don't have to compete with the veteran shows.
Do you know why? Do you know why shows are released in the fall?
No, why?
Why this happened? It's an anachronism, a throwback to the release of cars in the fall.
Advertising.
Well, they would sponsor the shows, that's true. And so they correlated with the release of the new car. And now this industry is still stuck in that same seasonal mode. When really it should be all the time. Just rolling.
Cable sort of does that.
Yeah, that's right.
And so this is like it's like in sports, like in football, the rookies got to get to camp a couple weeks early, and then the veterans show up. So going on its sixth season, That 70 Show is a veteran.
Oh, I see.
Perennial All-Pro. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. Busy signing autographs, throwing the kids their practice jersey.
Right.
banging strippers, that kind of stuff.
You know,
stuff.
It's interesting. We when we first came into the network, we came in right on the last season of Merrill's Place in 90210, and that was an interesting thing to see. You know, we were this freshman kids where everybody knew that we were going to get canceled.
Right.
And, you know, all of those kids weren't extremely nice to us at all.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there was like one or two in each cast, in each, you know, Merrill's Place and 90210, they were actually nice to us, but...
Yeah.
You know,
well,
the rest.
They're on top of the world now. Thomas Calabro
and company.
We're
just thankful to have a gig. Just thankful to have a gig right now.
What do you think happens to people when they're on a hit show that just vanishes? Do they get depressed? What happens?
I don't know. What happened to you with Loveline, Drew?
Oh, you get depressed.
You get depressed.
No, but I mean, did they not really even thought about it? Did they?
Because obviously,
they didn't have any reaction.
But Drew doesn't know. He still thinks the show's on.
But do they keep struggling, trying to reinvent themselves?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of them, and this is for me, just my experience of just being in the network and seeing the cycle in which each show goes through, you know, from the moment they get picked up to the moment they get canceled. You know, it's incredible. I think that it just depends on the ambition, depends on the vision that they see themselves in later, you know, whether they think in the long term or they think in the short term, you know.
I was watching the special tribute to John Ritter last night. Sadly, a great guy,
man.
Just a great guy, and knew him to some degree. Did a pilot with him a long time ago, and spent a little time with him. And everyone who, if there's any reason just to be a decent human being, look at John.
You die young.
In case you go, John Ritter. I mean, people, the entire cast is bawling their eyes out. They can barely talk about it. Everyone from the hair people to the camera people to any to the lowest person on the totem pole on that set is like in love with the guy. And then there's guys like me I did a pilot with him a long time ago. I saw him once in a while. Have
I thought
nothing
you meant
but
there are guys like you who would say, "Oh, he's a prick. I don't care. Who cares?"
I would say that.
No, that they would say that about you.
Would say that about me. How dare you, Drew? People know I love them, even if I can't stand them. I'm just saying, this is all the reason you need is just look at the outpouring of emotion for a guy like John Ritter, because he was a good guy. And believe me, if an a-hole went, the rest of the cast wouldn't be happy to see him go. But believe me, when they were interviewing the crew and the hairstyles and stuff, they wouldn't be weeping.
You knew that he definitely invested.
Follow your logic, Adam. So when he's up in heaven looking down, you can take in and appreciate.
Yeah, he was
legacies he's left behind.
That's right.
That's nice.
That's
actually did Clifford the Big Red Dog, the movie. You know, he was the voice of Clifford, and I was I think that was his last, you know,
feature,
animated feature. Yeah. Because he was doing Clifford for a long time, and I think that comes out in like 2004. It'd be interesting, you know.
Yeah.
It's really sad. I mean, it was a great show. It was an amazing ensemble, you know, and he was such a fundamental part of it.
Man, he was just so beloved. Everyone just loved that guy. And look, I hang around with enough a-holes where they'll say, "Look, it's too bad the guy's gone, but you know, he was no angel." Kind of thing. No one has anything bad to say about the guy.
Mm-mm.
Daisy?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, sir.
You're bi?
Yes.
And you're married?
Yes.
Is your husband bi?
I don't know. He is.
He likes guys on occasion?
On occasion.
All right.
So now that you're married, you're heterosexual, because when you're married, you don't keep having other relations.
Yeah. Most people don't.
Yeah. But you do?
Yeah.
Healthy people don't. That's
right. Do you guys have any kids?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Don't have any kids.
We won't.
Yeah, good.
Good, all right. Do whatever you want.
Not for a long time.
So. No. Not forever.
Yeah.
No. I want to be a mom sometime.
No, Daisy. Well, then you better call your crap out.
Yeah, I know. I got to grow up first.
All right, fine. You. In the meantime, you get a lap dog.
Yeah, I got about four of them, so.
Oh, really? What kind?
Weimaraners.
Oh, my God. What a horrible dog.
I know someone who had one of those dogs.
No, they're like
German guard dogs.
I know.
They hop from one thing. They're real.
They're like the gray.
Yeah, the gray with the short hairs. Four of them.
They're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
All right. Yeah. All right, anyway. Your husband's not trying to hump them, too, is he?
No, uh-uh.
All right, they're next on his list.
No.
Watch those dogs.
No.
Okay, so you want to? You and your husband want to start swinging? You want to get a woman
yeah.
in the bedroom with you too?
Right. Well, that's what we want. That's our.
What about a dude? Want. I thought your husband was bi.
No, I mean he's kind of that way, but just with me.
This is great, though, by the way. You do. It's like you marry this chick, she's bi, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm bi, too. What's Connie doing Friday? Oh, don't you want a dude? Because Brian, yeah, no, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. We'll get around to that. I just had some, dork. I chugged a little Johnson at work. I'm good. But Connie, we got to get her out to the house. Because I'm thinking of you, baby.
And not just one night, but you want a relationship with her. You got to keep her for a while.
Yeah. I'm just going to load up the beta cam and set the tripod up so we can get a shot of the back of my nuts. This is going to be great. I'm thinking of you. You want a woman, right, Daisy?
Yes, I do.
And magically, he does, too.
And your husband wants... And now, what if he gets involved? Does he get to participate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Does he get to have sex with her?
Yeah. We've done it before.
Where he has intercourse?
Yeah.
And I'll what
like
do you...
watch.
You like to watch.
Oh, boy.
I'm all right. Yeah, you're freaky.
That's more than freaky.
Hold on a second there, freaky.
That's disturbing.
All right? Thinking about taking one of those dogs away, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and believe me, as a society, more people would be outraged if she has four dogs than if she had five kids.
Yes.
I'm telling you. Yes. That's the beauty. All right. Well, I want to get back with Daisy because
there's rules about that too, by the way.
Oh yes. Oh, yeah. There are she could not own a llama.
Right.
She could have 35 kids, but one llama?
No.
Not zoned. Wilmer Valderrama, guest tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back with the bisexual Daisy after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Wilmer Valderrama, our guest tonight. Party Monster, name of his new movie. Getting very good reviews and doing very well in the cities that it's out in. Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, this week in Florida. And you guys go out and support it, and it'll get a wide release.
Speaking of that, I need a little support from the Loveline listeners on my book, Cracked.
That's right.
You guys to get out there and go buy that book. It's a good book. It's an easy read. It's an interesting book. It's about human beings through the prism of what I do in my day-in-day-out life.
Mm-hmm.
And Loveline listeners not been that well represented in the book-buying world.
I'm shocked.
I want to see them show some support.
And listen, you snot-nosed teens, this show doesn't cost you a penny. You understand? You sit around and listen to my pearls of wisdom. I guide you through the dark and murky waters of your life every night. Drew's over here busting his hump with all his medical degrees and whatnot. We're driving halfway across the town just to talk to you, and it's free. It's all free. Now, how about a little something for Dr. Drew?
So
the world is your oyster. That's
right.
Because that's all the world
Amazon
is.
Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
That was free.
wherever. It's wide release. Please go out and take a look at it.
And let me say this. Drew has three kids, all in private school.
Well,
do you understand
what
that costs?
Unfortunately, this will not reflect. This will not.
He had to pay the gas-guzzling tax on his car.
No, this will not.
I mean, and the luxury tax.
Be reflected in money.
Point is, the guy's got a nut to make. You understand? A lot of you guys living at home, living off the fat of the land.
How can they
Drew's
help me
got
with that?
Overhead.
It's not going to be by buying this book.
Buy that book.
Hey, and Drew, I don't read, but I read your book, too. And I liked
it
very
much.
Yes, yeah, so, I know.
You.
I talked to you about it.
That's
I loved
right.
it.
That's right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I've heard the same from the people who have read it. All right.
It doesn't include Adam.
No, I'm going to get around to it. Listen, I know it's good. I don't need to read it.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that was a compliment. I think.
Daisy?
Yeah. I don't want our listeners thinking that way, though.
No.
See?
You guys go get that book.
Read it.
I got three.
Yep, that's right.
And I bought my coasters, one each.
Paid retail for all of them, too.
I'm going to get your cast.
I left kipped. I left a tip to the book people.
Can
too.
I get it? Give it to you to give it to the cast? Okay.
All right, Drew, stop talking to people off the air.
They could have thought I was talking to Wilmer.
Can I? Okay, all right. But then
I will definitely do that.
Oh, see, there you go. Okay, we're good. Daisy?
Yes.
So you're 23, you're bi, your boyfriend is bi.
No, my husband is...
I mean your husband.
Okay with me being okay.
He's okay with you being bi.
Of course.
Yes.
As we pointed out at the opening of your call last hour.
Right.
In fact, he's encouraging your action, I imagine.
Right. And now he wants to get, this is mostly his idea, he wants to get a girl to be almost a full-time girlfriend for both of you, right?
It's my idea.
It's your idea,
yes.
Right. But you were saying last break that it was kind of more his idea.
Well, I don't know. It's both of our ideas.
Yeah.
It'll spice up the marriage a little bit, I guess.
Sure, spice it up. Spice it up. Yep, just say if you just pull the top off a salt shaker and just dump the entire thing into an
omelet.
That's
spicier.
Spices that right up. That's right.
Daisy, how did you feel last time you guys did this?
How did I feel?
Yeah, I realize that's a tough question for you. But
did you enjoy it?
Did you like seeing your husband bang another girl?
Yeah, your husband having sex.
I like it.
You like it. All right.
Yeah.
Now, what did you witness? Your parents having sex or something when you were a kid? Or?
I don't know. My phone's cutting out. What did you say?
Were you sexually abused growing up?
Yeah.
How old were you when that started?
Actually, my cousin kind of did it to me a little bit.
Did you have to watch other people having sex, too?
No.
Okay.
I was really young, like 8.
All right. Well, you're over that.
Yeah.
So
screw with your brain.
Go
ahead,
do whatever you want. It's going to screw. You're just acting out your neuroses that was caused by your cousin. And I'm sorry I did that, but this is not the answer. But if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. We can't stop you. Don't have any kids.
We won't.
We're using birth control.
We're using good birth control.
What?
Well, I'm not using anything, but...
Oh, that's good. That's good birth control.
No, that's good.
It's kind of the pull-out method.
Okay, that's not good birth control.
Well,
that's,
I know,
that's,
but
that's no
I can't
birth
be
control.
On anything right now because...
Why?
I'm on something for bipolar, and the doctor doesn't think it'd be a good idea.
Oh, okay, but if he heard you say, nuh-uh, 1,000 times, he probably would think it was a good idea.
How about slapping a condom on your boyfriend, your husband? And
we could probably try that.
Keep the morning after pill around in case the condom doesn't...
Can you do that, Daisy?
Yeah,
we just want you not
to
have any kids. Please, no kids.
We don't have any kids.
No kids. Okay.
You couldn't take your bipolar meds if you're pregnant, too.
Nah.
Right. So you can't get pregnant.
Okay.
And revisit with your daughter, your doctor, whether or not you perhaps ought to be on birth control pill. I suspect you misunderstood what he said.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go. No, she's just a free thinker. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look, everybody. She's her cousin molested her, and that's why
she's
the way she is. Yes, she's a victim. And her husband's probably a victimizer, but who cares? Look, here's my whole thing. It's like, do whatever you want until you start having kids, and then when you start having kids, you end up unleashing your neuroses on society via the kid who has to leave the confines of your trailer and go out into society.
All you gotta
F with my kid.
To understand that clearly, all you have to do is hear the story of Daisy's mom and her sexual abuse.
Right.
To understand how this Daisy chain continues.
Oh, true.
Ooh.
Oh, touche.
What
touché.
A twist.
Harlot?
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Hold on. Your name is Harlot?
No, it's not my real name, but I like it, and I think it suits me well, so.
She's from North Hollywood. I mean, anybody named Harlot from North Hollywood.
I like that name. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what Harlot means?
Prostitutes.
Okay.
It's
It's at North Hollywood High.
Is it prostitutes or is it sort of homewrecker?
It's like...
It's prostitute.
It's like the old-time prostitute.
It's an old-time
like
prostitute.
20s from the 1820s,
How about you go with strumpet?
that sounds like a breakfast muffin.
Anyone need more strumpet? I'm saving room for my Denver omelet.
Got some butter for the strumpet, please?
All right there, Harlot.
Okay.
But where did you go to high school?
Polytechnic High School.
Oh.
I know.
Sun Valley, baby. That was my home field when I played for the Sun Valley Falcons. What a cesspool that place is.
Is that true?
It's worse than North Hollywood.
Well, I live in North Hollywood, but the school's in Sun Valley.
Oh.
She seems reasonably intelligent.
She's a parrot. Their mascot is a parrot.
Yeah, I know.
What's it say?
They couldn't even get a decent wolf or anything. They got to get a parrot. Like, how much is a decent mascot these days? Like your self esteem is so bad as a high school that you actually get a bird that does this crap on your shoulder.
What's his name? That's gonna be funnier.
It's Polly. It's like
Polly
won a cracker kind of parrot.
Exactly.
But here's the good thing about mascots is they make them badass. It's like a buff parrot. You know, its chest all poked down. It's got a mean look on its face.
With his head down.
His head's leaning down. Yeah. It's a mean parrot.
Right? Wheels for legs.
Oh, shut up. All right. So anyway, you got a question for Wilmer?
Yeah. Okay, Wilmer, how was it like working with Marilyn Manson on Party Monster?
Yeah, you know, working with him was definitely an educational experience because that guy is because he's definitely a great businessman. You know, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. You know, you know, he has it going on. You know, I mean, we're talking to him was unusually normal. That was great to see. You know,
he's a smart guy. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that.
No,
they're
not.
Yeah, because everybody expects him to be like really wild and. He's pretty mellow. Yeah,
he's, you know, to be honest, you know, he's very professional. You know, he knows exactly what he wants to do, you know, and he knows how to do it.
Which is what? What's his big picture?
To be honest, I mean, he's made a huge mark in this industry by doing things that, you know, obviously people don't really expect from a normal human being, you know what I mean? And I don't think necessarily he's 100% like that.
I think he broke into Spanish
like
there for a second.
I think he's, he's like a performance artist that's conducting, I know him. He's like conducting an experiment on society.
Right.
And pulling our strings and getting us to react and selling product. Harlot?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm worried about you. You're into Marilyn Manson. You call yourself Harlot, and worst of all,
I like
you go to
that
Polly.
Name. Becoming a prostitute. I don't know why.
You do? All right. Like, well, listen, you got to have goals.
Yeah.
You got to have goals.
This is my goal.
I wanted to get into carpet cleaning when
I was your age. Well, if you heard that last call, Daisy, the things that seemed fun and interesting to her are the result of serious trauma in her past. And if being a prostitute sounds and feels like a good thing to do.
I wasn't molested or anything. It's just I'm fascinated. Like, one time I saw this documentary on the Moonlight Bunny Ranch or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, wanted to go there for some reason. I don't know why.
All right. And again, she's going to Poly, where they actually she can major in prostitution. They're getting kids ready for a realistic preparation, they call it. Not everyone goes to college, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
All right, what are your main cross streets you live by, Harlot?
Lauren Canyon and Stagg.
Stagg is a small street.
Yeah.
Main cross streets.
Lauren Canyon.
And? Cross streets.
That's it. It's
the next big
large.
Roscoe.
All right, baby doll.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you you fit right in.
Okay.
All right.
Isn't that where your strip bars are that you see?
You got to get out of there.
Isn't
that? Not Laurel and I'm more of a Lancashire guy.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Star Guard. All right, baby doll.
Okay.
Don't be a prostitute. Cheer up.
Okay.
Are you a big gal?
No. Well, I don't think so. I'm 5'9", and I'm 145, I think.
All right. Let me do the radio math. 5'9", 145. Get rid of the two. I got 5'7", and 3/16", 158.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. All right, Drew. What are you doing, Drew? You got to go to the bathroom?
No, I've been...
All right, don't exercise during the show.
Sitting all day.
I worry about her wants to be a prostitute.
Of course.
And living on Laurel and Roscoe. Oh, Christ. One summer I killed myself in that area.
I was driving down Lancashire. I was looking for a bank on Lancashire, and I came across one of your strip places, like a circus front or something to it. Is it?
Yeah. Where? What street were you on?
Lancashire.
Yes. Star Garden.
Is this Star Garden?
Classy lady. Star Garden. It's a classy place.
They had like
Venus Fair,
like circus or something.
Yeah, they got it. The people with boners like bright colors. They've tested this.
Attracts them like lemurs.
They're like bees.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for. All right, Amy.
Oh my God, am I on?
You're 23.
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, hey fellas. Long time listener, first time caller.
Great.
I guess my problem is in my last relationship, it lasted a month, and then I got a call last night, and he said he had a gut feeling that this relationship wasn't right, and he just wanted to be friends, maybe see other people or something.
Actually,
I slept with him the second day I knew him, and maybe that was the problem. But
how long ago was that?
That was, we were going out for a month. Today would be our 1 month anniversary.
No, you weren't going out.
No.
You were just
We were.
You were friends with benefits.
You thought you were dating. He was humping with dinner before it.
Dinner after, actually.
Yeah, that's even better.
It was basically, he had to shell out $18 for dinner. Not for his guilt, so we could do it.
No, they helped before dinner, she said.
I know, well, but you can't just get...
We met at a coffee shop, and then we saw each other the next day at the beach, and then we saw each other again later that day.
Yeah, listen, right. Amy, yeah. This was not a dating relationship. This was just a...
No, well, I kind of thought it was, and I was ready at this point in my life for a boyfriend.
Right. Well, he wasn't
ready to be one, apparently.
Right.
So,
what was the reason?
Like 5 months in between going out and like looking for action.
What?
So I kind of was ready to do that, but I went to a meeting at a bar that sounds kind of weird.
All right, hold on.
A meeting at a bar.
She wanted to wait 5 months before going out and looking for action.
I didn't follow her at all.
All right, let's get her back. I'll try to. Let me explain what our callers are like. It's like when you're a kid and you're playing with slot cars. You go a little too fast around a corner and spins off the track and rolls under the sofa. I got to go get him and get him back onto the track every once in a while. Make sure I can clean the brushes and then get him going and take it slow again. Amy?
Yeah.
And once in a while, the cat just pounces on him. That's the best part about slot cars. That's where a cat would just freak on him. So, Amy.
Yeah.
So, it would have been your one-month anniversary today.
Yes.
But he broke up with you.
He doesn't want to be a boyfriend.
It's pretty dead, but he left it open. He said he's gonna call me.
Yeah, he's gonna call you, see if he can get laid.
He's gonna call you at midnight or 1 a.m.
What's that?
He said he didn't want to have a sexual relationship.
Yeah, that was on that day.
Amy beat off 10 minutes before he made the phone call.
This is what's gonna happen. He's gonna be laying down. He's gonna look through his phone book, and his little cell phone. He's gonna be like, oh. Open invitation. One.
The next part of my question. I went to a Democratic Party meeting that was located at a bar tonight, and I show up and nobody's there. So I got to talking with this guy at the bar, and we exchanged numbers. So I kind of wanted your advice on how to take this new relationship slowly so that I don't mess it up again.
You didn't mess the other one up by going too fast.
You didn't. And
because he was just not into it.
And secondly, don't refer to this one as a new relationship just yet.
I know that.
Okay, so here's the thing, Amy. There's some good guys out there, but there are also a lot of bad guys.
And a lot of good guys are going through a bad time in their life. And not a bad time, just not ready for a relationship.
Drew's defending his past indiscretions. Multiple past indiscretions. And if you're dealing with 23-year-old guys, you live in San Diego, live in Southern California, in beach cities, if you take your average 25-year-old guy, he's just going to do as much as he can do for as long as he can do it. Sometime about 6-7 years from now, he'll either knock somebody up and get married to him or just settle down and get married. You may be one of the many that's in between him and that final destination known as marriage or settling down.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you got to find a guy who's on the same page as you.
You know, it's really like we need to renew courtship rituals of some type for women. So some procedure where she can sit down and meet a guy a few times, talk with him, have meals with him, but not go right have sex with him, not hook up, not get joined to the hip. Just sort of hang out and figure out, I want this guy. Do I want to hook up with this guy?
Here's what the courtship ritual is in place for. Now that it's gone, women are confused.
Yes.
Because here's the thing.
It's an assessment process.
If you meet a guy at a bar, a club, the beach, wherever you meet him, he would gladly have sex with you that afternoon, that day, that evening. He would do it. If you let him do it, he would do it.
Yeah, listen, women, first of all, don't believe that. They don't believe that.
Well, believe it. Yeah. If he's attracted to you.
Yes.
Now, if you then go have sex with him that afternoon or the following day and you get going, now you're confused because you think you're dating and having a relationship. He thinks he's getting lucky.
Yes.
Now, he may be into you, but we don't know.
There's no
courtship, which usually separates the wheat from the chaff.
Yep. Yep.
Now, this same guy, if he just wants to have sex with you and he's not that into you, wouldn't last the courtship ritual of three or four, five dates,
or
10 dates,
or
whatever
the girl
it is.
Or might just say, I'll hook up with this guy. I've kind of been lonely. I'll hook up with him, and that's that. And have made that decision not to do that themselves.
Right. So here's the moral of the story is, ladies, if you meet a guy and he's a foreign exchange student from Venezuela, and he's backpacking through Southern California, and you know it's just going to be a one-night thing, and he's cute, and you want to have sex with him, so be it. But if you're looking for a boyfriend, understand that there has to be a little ritual, a little compulsory part of the dating in order to find out where you stand.
Even before you hook up, it would be in your best interest to, a couple of meals, a couple something, you know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. Who is this person? Do I lie? How will that feel? How I feel? And then, all right, hook up, fine.
What I'll do with my ladies back before I was, when I was a single man, is I would say, I understand you don't want to sleep with a guy after going out to dinner one time. I would shove 13, 14 dinners into one evening.
Oh, that's good.
I would actually order 40 or 50 entrees. And it's like, just take a bite out of the lasagna, take it off, out of the beef stroganoff there. Okay, you tell all your friends, and when they say, how long is it? Oh, we must have had 15, 20 meals yeah. before we actually climbed into bed. That's my plan, Drew. All right, we got to take ourselves a little bit of a break. We'll do it on time for change. Wilmer Valderrama here tonight, Party Monster, name of his movie. We'll be right back after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, leave junior producer Lauren alone for a second now.
Well, we're going to ask a question I need to talk to her about.
You talk to her during the break, buddy.
The answer is going to come from her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, during the break it'll come from her. Valderrama here tonight,
okay,
by the way.
Big Will.
Party Monster, name of his movie, and Will?
Yeah.
Cool. You got a question?
Yeah, my question is for Dr. Drew. I was wondering if we could send their copy of Crack to K-Rock to have it signed like we did with the Dr. Drew and Adam book.
By all means. I don't know where you'd send them, though, because here comes Lawrence.
They're not
going to
give it out over the air. Come on.
Where do they? If they want to send the book in for me to sign, what address should they send it to?
To 5901... Venice Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034.
There you go. 5901 Venice.
You got
LAC,
that?
LACA.
Great. All
attention
the crackpots know where we are.
Attention Loveline. I'll send it with a self-addressed stamped envelope. And we'll send it right back to you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, cool.
Did you get that down?
Yeah.
Did you read the book?
I've ordered it, but it hasn't come from
all
Amazon
right.
yet.
Fantastic. All right. Good times. Listen, you pimp, we should have just done that, off. During the break, off the air. You can talk to them off the air.
They put it up there.
No, I mean, you can talk to them on the air.
Oh, I see.
And then we put them on hold.
I see.
They don't bore the people in the other 80 markets. They don't give a rat's ass.
Unacceptable.
All right, Drew. Drew, well, he never stops pimping. 107 minutes. Thank you. Brian? Brian? Oh, he's asleep. It's all right. See if we can hear him sleeping. Haven't had a good snorer on the phone in a while.
No.
Brian? Yeah, he's been on hold for over an hour and a half. Actually, it's coming on to 2 hours.
Oh. Do I hear something there?
Well, just out of courtesy to Brian, who's been on hold for almost 2 hours, let's answer his question.
Feels like his right nut is being poked by a needle.
Sometimes if you don't take the tag off your underpants.
That can make a poke like a needle feeling, yeah.
And by the way, is that the world's greatest idea, having dress shirts with 75 pins that must carefully be removed?
Yeah, why is that? That's
crazy.
Them,
and then if you miss one of them, you're walking around
you
jump back in the back of your car, and if a pin drives through your rib cage, can't figure out a way to fold, sell, and/or transport dress shirts without several thousand pins in them.
And they're always in the most awkward places, man. Like the back, the armpit. Like,
yeah,
it's just like the most. You didn't even.
Then they end up on
it.
Your bathroom floor, and you step on them.
Yes. Afterwards. Yeah.
Are we trying to get rid of pins? don't we need pins? Don't they cost something?
Then they recycle in them.
And then here's always the weirdest one is and then you take the this is only for dress shirts, but you take the thing apart. First off, I've walked around with the piece of cardboard in the collar for months. I didn't get to that.
Yeah, I thought you were supposed to leave that in there. So.
I was a little on the fence about that myself. But cardboard in there, sometimes – here's what we do too much of in this country. We stuff stuff in stuff way too much. You try on a pair of shoes, and you're like, these things feel tight. And then you realize there's that paper that's been shoved in the front toe, and you got to dig it out with your fingernails. Everything that's packed comes with now everything comes with those those little salt packets, you know, that to keep the moisture out of everything. You got everything's like seven layers, even in just clothing. A shirt, it'll have the cardboard in the collar, it'll have all the pins. Then it has like the tissue paper that's inside the sleeve and on top of the thing.
It's
like
socks. They put the, what is that in there?
Socks. They got a little cardboard thing with the staple thing, and then there's a little sock hanger on the thing that looks like a weird cane. And then you got to pull them apart. I do more damage unpacking a shirt than I do in 5 years of wearing it.
Yep.
What is that? Is there some sort of strong like shirt packing union or something? Like,
and by the way, the socks, I mean, they stretch. You put them on your feet, and that's, and you're done. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know why I have to get out gardening shears to get the socks apart. Let me just ball them up like you do when you take them out of the laundry.
Yep.
Drew, I got to look into this. I am looking in. Mark my words.
There's a conspiracy here. I know it.
I think the shirts will be cheaper and the socks will be cheaper if you don't have to do all the pins and everything.
Once in a while, too, you want to try a shirt on. And then so it's like 40 minutes of unpacking at the store. You got to get out of the cellophane. They're pulling all the tissue paper and the cardboard out and all the pins. And then then you get the thing undone. And if you don't buy it, you feel like the world's biggest asshole.
I think that might be part of the strategy.
It's going to take a team of midgets 6 months to put that back together again. And it'll never go back the way it was. Right, it can never go back. It's like a car that got totaled. It'll never be right.
And those shirts enter some sort of purgatory. You never see them again.
And now,
have you ever tried on a shirt where you didn't have to unfold it like that?
What happened to those
shirts once you opened them?
Oh, and you'll buy them. I'll buy them and I'll just leave them in the thing. Yeah. And then if there's a night where you have to wear, it's like I got the wedding tomorrow night. I'm going to start unpacking the shirt tonight because it's going to take just 17, 18 hours of careful dissection to get this thing. It's like dismantling a bomb. It's disarming it. Yeah, it's very, very slowly. All right, where are we, Drew? Yeah.
Marissa.
Who got me going on that shirt thing? Marissa?
Needles. Yeah, hi.
Yeah, thank you. You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, I was wondering, every single time I masturbate and I orgasm, I have to, like, pee.
Immediately? Or do you lose your urine?
Like, when I get my orgasm.
You pee all over the place.
No, I stop, but then I have to pee.
All right, now let's get clear here. You stop the orgasm so you don't lose your urine?
Yeah.
But if you were to orgasm, you might lose your urine.
Yeah.
Okay, some women just do that, and that's okay.
All right, I got more apparel talk. I'm getting angry now. I think there needs to be certain rules for certain pieces of clothing. For instance, yesterday I was wearing a short sleeve, button-up, sort of loose-fitting summer kind of shirt that 95 to 98% of the time has the breast pocket.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but those shirts always come with a breast pocket, but not the one I was wearing. Yeah. They left that pocket off. But the entire day, I was pulling
stuff.
My sunglasses off and sliding them down my chest. I was dropping pens, and I was using this imaginary pocket that I somehow, through muscle memory, had trained my body into thinking, well, I feel the short sleeves, it's button up, a collar, and that's my body just kept thinking. I like refused to acknowledge that there wasn't a pocket, and then I started getting angry at whoever made the shirt, which is, you got to put a pocket on this kind of shirt. That's it.
Did you have to open up a bunch of pins to get the shirt on first?
No, I went through that process years ago with this shirt.
Oh,
thankfully,
right.
I wear my clothes out. But the point is there's certain things that they should just be there. If you're going to do a short sleeve summer shirt that's button up, you got to have a pocket on the
chest. You know, the last few months of speaking with you and being, you know, conversing on the show, Adam, I'm realizing we need to have some sort of Geneva Convention on life.
That's
multiple things for the Corolla.
I'll tell you the other thing. I'm getting fired up about too, involving apparel. Can somebody make a pair of sweatpants that has a back pocket with a little flap on it and a little piece of Velcro that goes over it? Because
Nike makes a zippered back pocket.
I'm having trouble finding those. I've been taken, like everyone else, to wearing sweatpants these days because it's easier and it's fashionable and it's whatever.
The dry fit pants.
I put the sweatpants on. I got the wallet. I got the phone. I got the keys. I got the whole thing in the pants pocket. I jump into the car. And as soon as I jump in the car and put my knees up on the floorboard, everything in the pocket slides out into that weird no man's land in between the edge of your car. and the edge of the seat.
Yeah.
That little weird gutter pocket there. There's pens.
What's in there, by the way.
Oh, this Al Capone's vault is in my car. I brought millions of like an old Spanish sailing ship that went down.
Galleon that was lost years ago.
Millions of doubloons in there. God knows I could retire if I could get whatever was stuffed in there. And everything is slick now. I'm looking at my cell phone. It's liquid mercury. It's smooth. Yeah. There's not a ridge on it.
It's like
at it.
A Listen, fish.
You can barely hold it. Yeah, it's like trying to pull a trout out of a tank.
Yeah.
Now you put this thing in your pocket. You put your wallet in your pocket. Yeah, other stuff too. Like I got one of those iPods. Macintosh iPod. Yeah. Not a bump. Not a handle. Not a ridge on. You put that kind of stuff in your sweatpants. You start walking around. You sit in the car. You explode.
Yeah.
Just everything comes sliding out, sliding all over the place. And then, now, here's where the real trouble starts. You don't know all the stuff slid out.
Right.
Now you're running late. It's at night. You pop the car door open.
Boom.
You jump out of the car. Now your wallet, iPod, cell phone, personal computer, it's all in a big pile by the side of your door in the parking lot. You slam the door and you go in. And then hours later, you're at the restaurant. You're feeling your pockets. Everything slides out everywhere. Who do we sue? I don't want stuff to be so slick. I want stuff to have a little edge, a little grit, a little grab to it. Does everything have to be, have no drag coefficients? It all could be made out of like space age polymers. Look at this phone, Drew.
I'm looking.
There's nothing on it.
You
can't
hold it.
Yeah,
it's like a trout. You're right.
Okay, don't throw it now. Come on, Drew. All right. I just want some of the little grip tape on it. Some of the little
red. I think, to be honest, in those pockets are just for the look. For the look that you have pockets. I don't think they're meant for anything.
So put your hands in when it's cold in the wintertime and you're jogging.
Yeah. I am this close to getting a fanny pack. I don't want to do it.
Years of ridicule.
I don't want to wear a fanny pack, but I'm this close.
You know, that's really
close.
I think it's cool. No, Velmer, come follow me.
No,
it's cool. It'd be great.
It'd be really cool.
Should I get a leather one?
Leather one.
And you know what? When I went to Miami, it was really hip. Along with Speedos.
Speedo?
Yeah, both at the same time.
Speedo? Oh.
Yeah.
Speedo fanny pack combo.
Thank you. You have to wear the pocket.
Okay.
Very Euro. Thong back or just thong. Standard Speedo?
No, standard.
I mean,
you can have a belt with the Speedo.
Oh,
like, you can make a little Prada, little something like that.
Okay. On the feet, espadrilles or what? Like thongs?
No, toe rings.
All right. Now, see? There's some good advice.
Huh? Definitely.
Wilmer's is young. He knows the demographic.
I know what's happening.
I have one concern. They won't be able to appreciate the fashion statement if it goes around your fanny.
I'll shave.
Yeah, get lost in the woods there.
All right. Okay. So I'm going with the Speedo and the fanny pack tomorrow.
Very nice.
All right. And toe ring. All right. See? So we do learn something from a guest every once in a while. Mark?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah, I think you just need to get a backpack, you know?
I'm 39. You know, the backpack's like I'm in college.
Well, you put your money where your mouth is. If you're buying the cell phone or the slick products, I mean, you get what you deserve.
I don't like those backpack guys, though.
Everything
is slick now. You have no choice.
Yeah, well, all right. Anyway, I've always had lots of questions I want to ask you guys, but I guess I have to pick one.
Yes.
No, let's just stay with Mark the rest of the evening.
All right. Well, one of them is about herpes. A couple years ago, I didn't know that I had oral herpes, and my girlfriend at the time all of a sudden had genital herpes, and it was a big deal.
Okay.
And I was wondering, you know, what are the chances of that ever happening again?
Of you giving it to somebody else?
Yeah, I generally don't do that at all. I will not go down on somebody because it was a pretty terrible experience.
You're afraid of giving that. Well, you...
Yeah, and I tell girls. I let anybody I know who I'm involved with.
That's really responsible.
I'm honest about it.
It's very hard to predict.
Yeah.
There's no way anybody can give you an exact risk except to tell you that it's possible. And if you don't have symptoms, it's still possible. If you have symptoms, it's very likely.
Are you having outbreaks?
No. Well, like once a year, maybe. And only when I get sick, if that ever happens. I mean, very rarely.
Okay. All right. Well, it doesn't seem likely, but you're straightforward with everybody.
Hmm.
Okay, so Speedo and leather fanny pack?
Yeah.
Or
sweat? Yeah, you might want to go with like you want to match the Speedo with your pack.
Suede Speedo.
Oh, monochromatic, they call it. So a suede Speedo or like a leather Speedo, like a black leather Speedo?
I would go
black
suede because it's, suede. You know, it is.
Or the pseudo suede so we can get it wet. And...
Yeah.
I'm writing this down. Okay. And you say canary yellow with the Speedo? Or...
That's cute. Yeah, that's really cute.
Okay. All right. You see, Drew? Should I get some tips?
That's good time.
All right, I'm going to focus on that. That's just an awesome look right there. It's an awesome look.
With your hairy ass. And, imagine that.
Now, full T-shirt or cutoff?
Wow. Now, see, this is where it gets tricky.
Right.
It was really, really tricky. Normally, I would say shirtless because that's
right now.
Especially if you have a hairy chest.
Hold on.
You know,
slow down. Shirtless.
Chest,
okay. Shirtless.
Chest.
Or, could I go with a cutoff T-shirt if it's a hot day and I don't want to get too much sun on my shoulders?
Only if you're okay with a two-tone tan and your chest, you know, right on top.
Right. All right. And we're going to talk accessories when we come back. I know he's going to like
on a very special love line.
He's going to like my large Italian horn idea because that's always a nice look. And my red, white, and blue sweatband. Wristband combination, which is a good look. You know, Drew, if you've seen that,
I've seen that one. Big gold bracelet. Yeah, it looks like sort of gold.
Oh, my
rocks.
Nugget. That's a nugget watch.
Yeah,
that's a nugget watch. Yeah,
I like the lion head you're wearing. Your
a lion head.
Yeah,
good. Right next to the Italian horn. Solid. Wilmer Valderrama, our guest tonight, giving me fashion tips. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Wilmer Valderrama is our guest tonight.
Okay, big Will.
Dear friend, Wilmer Valderrama.
Thank you.
Party Monster, name of the movie, out as we speak, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Florida, and parts near you soon, if it keeps going the way it's going. And it's nice because this does happen where people come in and they have a smallish independent type movie and it has a limited release and they always say that if people go out and see it then we'll get a larger release and that doesn't seem to happen as much as it should and this movie it seems like it's happening.
Yeah, we're actually that's the move that the companies are making right now. The movie sound really good thanks to everyone that's gone and supported.
But everybody who's gone and speaking of going and supporting it, like you've made the rounds this show and Kimmel show and other shows. I've seen Seth Green on this show and Kimmel show. And
we're very, very specific who we're targeting.
Everybody is doing their work, making the rounds, and supporting their product, which is nice. Jordan,
it helps when you're proud. You know?
Yeah. Obviously, you guys believe in it because this is definitely the kind of thing that could just go away if you didn't like and you wouldn't have to really have your name on it. Jordan?
Yeah.
You're 16? What's up?
Well, I just wanted to... Drew, I bought your book yesterday, and I cannot put it down. It's like the best thing I've ever read.
Oh, my God. God bless you.
Thank you. You're welcome. I was just wondering, I've on page 87, you kept referring to Get It, and you... don't get it. Or
I know. I almost called it. I wanted to call the book Getting It at one point.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What I'm talking about? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm working on a documentary now with ABC News Primetime. It's going to air in November, where we specifically go through, we follow a guy who's having trouble getting it, and then one day gets it. It's hard to describe. You have to kind of see it, but it ultimately is a capitulation to the treatment process, a total willingness to do whatever it takes to get better. Most addicts kind of go through the motions and don't really open emotionally to the process until, A, they believe they're going to die, if they don't do something more than they've been doing, or B, they have some sort of spiritual awakening of some type.
I'm also working on a Fox one-hour drama, a detective and investigator, arson investigator called Speedo Fanny Pack, where I play Speedo
Fanny Pack.
I was about to be
like, oh, Speedo Fanny Pack 911.
I play Speedo Fanny Pack. He doesn't play by the rules, this guy.
Makes his own rules.
But he gets results.
I see.
You know, Adam, what about those little, guys' little handbag things that have the cell phone slips and the money pouches?
Yeah, that's a man purse, though. That's for the Middle Eastern guy who's... who insists on driving the old Mercedes, even though he can only afford a Camry. I don't like that guy.
But Jordan, keep reread that part about the patient I'm referring to who suddenly gets it, who's like struggling, all of a sudden seems to get it. And what that, if I hope I describe accurately that sort of turnaround people.
Nah, they're fine. They'll watch the documentary. Shanae?
Yes, hi.
You're 22. What's up?
Yes. Well, I'm dating this guy. He's 65 years old.
No.
Yeah, I know. Wow. Well, here's my issue. I'm just... Yeah.
Your issue is the guy's 65 and you're 22.
He may die on you and take you with him.
Well, exactly. But my issue is that he is a totally great guy. Like, just such a good guy to be around. And we have yet to actually have intercourse.
We don't know that he's capable of that, do we?
Exactly. Like, at what age does he actually become, you know, too old to function, I guess?
It varies. Well, first off, guys do become great as they get older.
They
because
get more like a girl.
They stop producing testosterone and they start producing estrogen become like old women. And so they're great. And that's why all these a-holes you knew in high school, you go see them at the 20-year reunion, all of a sudden they're mellow and they're friendly. And guys are horrible between the age of like 14 and 70. No, maybe 40. They're horrible between like 14 and like 32, and then they start to sort of mellow out. Yeah, they're really, really bitch in there. But how'd you meet? Now you're 22.
Yeah, that's correct.
Are you attractive?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Now, do you feel like you could get a handsome 30-year-old guy?
You know what? I believe so, but my issue was I wanted a more mature person. Somebody.
Where did
who
you
could-
what? Where did you meet this guy? In a bar?
Unfortunately, yes, in a bar. I worked in a bar.
Hey, Bob Zabalabala. Welcome, Sinead's coming to the stage. Dar's coming to stage five. Stage five. There's a green Mercedes with lights on in the front. Hey, Bob Zabalabala. Sinead's on the slide. Blah, businessman's lunch. Blah, 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 ATM, $5 surcharge. Blah, 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 six-foot buffer zone. Blah, 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 blah.
Listen, she's in New Orleans. There's no buffer zone in New Orleans.
Oh, that's
like
true.
The cervix of the buffer zone.
Yeah, actually get fired if you're not in the guy.
I heard a very bad rumor that by some chance that when you are an older man that it's not performing to all that it's capable of performing.
Well, that's right. Listen, after about 40, things start, the frequency and the desire levels and even the tumescence start to drop, but there's Viagra and things. But yeah, you can. Some men are fine, but some have trouble at that age. That's certainly possible.
And how long have you been going out with him?
Well, actually, we've only been dating for about 2 weeks, so
their bars
are hot and heavy, you know.
And you guys have been making out.
Yes.
You guys don't work all those bars down in the French Quarter, do you?
Maybe.
Oh my God!
Are you a dancer? Do you?
I'm not.
Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm actually a cocktail waitress.
This is a bar. Bars on Bourbon Street.
Okay. Does he? What is he?
My deal. It just looks like he has big, saggy balls.
Gravity makes the older male
large, saggy balls with nothing in them but dust.
Well, it's this mummified testy.
All right, mummified testy. I play Speedo Fanny Pack.
I am 72.
I heard about you guys talking about the fanny pack. I heard that whole thing. Cool.
It's good luck. Okay,
I'm curious. I went to New Orleans for the first time 2 weeks ago.
Good,
no,
quiet.
It's interesting. It's an interesting.
Orleans, interesting for you.
New Orleans is a good place to go.
Not the word that comes to mind.
I'm just concerned about here I am. You know, I'm kind of a young age, and
I understand. Just like, be quiet. Be quiet. Let me ask the questions. What does he do for a living?
He's retired.
Okay.
What did he do?
He was a big oil man in Texas.
Okay, so he has money.
Apparently he does, but I come from a very wealthy family as well.
Okay, so
where's his family, his wife and kids, that sort of thing?
He has only been married once, doesn't have any kids.
Okay.
And I have never been married. And
what happened to his wife?
It's just true.
Just curious.
Shut up. They got divorced 14 years ago, and she lives in Florida. What happened?
She, you know, not much talk. His last time he had spoken to her, she lives in New York.
Okay.
Quiet, Drew. Didn't I say I'd ask some questions?
Right, go ahead.
Well, how far have you guys gotten physically?
Well, I've kind of, you know, touched the area, kind of felt that there was something going on there. And
was there an erection there?
A little bit, but still concerned. You know, I've heard, obviously I'm gossiping with my girlfriends. We're all in the same age group, and they're like, I can't believe you are considering, you know, actually dating this guy.
Well,
he's, you know, 65 years old.
Is he attractive?
Yeah, he's actually got lots. He's, you know, full head of hair.
Okay.
Lovely man.
Okay.
What's your plan with the relationship? Just hang out for a while?
I don't know. I'm just looking for a good guy. It's been
because
a long
by the time you're by the time you're 26, he's going to start getting medical problems, and you know things going to start happening.
You know, and that's what everyone's told me. Everyone's like, "Why are you getting involved with some guy?"
Whatever. You've been going out for 2 weeks. Have some fun.
What I said. It's 2 weeks, but I just have always been wondering. You know, it's an older man. He's, you know, saggy balls. I mean, look at women when they get older. Look at like what happens to them.
Yeah, the horrible thing about men is that they age better. They get less punished for their aging than women do. Women get punished for aging, and that's a horrible thing. But the thing,
by societal standards,
that's what I mean.
They do.
That's what I mean. That women are penalized for aging. Men are sort of like sustained and mummified
balls. You can do this. And
the couples I've dealt with who have a big age disparity, the really big problem is, and the women just don't get this really, is the guys get in their 70s and they have strokes and they have heart attacks, and now you're a nurse.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're in at that point.
Yeah. He's got a fanny pack full of Duke. He's crapping in his fanny pack. It really does become a fanny pack filled with Duke.
That's going to be one of the episode titles. Fanny Packed.
That'd be a good name for a backdoor movie. I mean, I didn't think Ubangus Uranus, I didn't think they could improve on that, but fanny packed. I think that's good. Drew, write that down.
We're good for the man show. Huh?
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Wilmer Valderrama, our guest tonight. We'll be right back after this.
What?
Hey, everybody.
You were doing all the work?
I'm doing all the work, buddy. That's why it feels fast for you, because you just sit back and you're amazed.
We're high. We got through 4 calls tonight. We're like...
That's right, because I'm dancing my ass off. Wilmer Valderrama here, everybody. God bless you, Wilmer.
Thank you, man. Thank you. You too.
Dear friend.
One short of Kathy. That's good.
Dear...
Uh-oh.
Oh, whoa.
Should we Kathy go?
Griffin? Dropped it. Yeah.
Dear friend. Party Monster, name of the movie. It is out. It is doing well, and we should keep that train rolling. So go out and check it out tomorrow.
Thank you.
And for sure, at the latest over the weekend, Wilmer. And that 70s show starting on the 29th?
Yep, October 29th.
October. So welcome in a successful season of that show.
Wednesday.
Okay. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Are you attractive?
Oh, yeah.
You're fat.
No.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.